Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Swag's your dad.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here. 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Football Friday, everybody.
Hello.
Your stupid ass.
We will get to that today.
I totally missed that controversy yesterday. I did not see. I walk in, I'm like, what are you listening to right now? I did not see that.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we got some audio to get to today. I have a fun way to talk about Oregon, Indiana, specifically for you.
Okay, right up my alley.
It is, yeah. Can I give you a preview?
Yeah,
a little taste. You want a little taste?
I would love a little nibble.
As they say on the streets of Portland, you want a taste?
Yeah, I'd love a taste. Put it in my pipe.
Posh Lupoy.
Is this the John Gruden preview?
Dan Lanning. This guy right here, let me tell you about him.
Mataya Uiagalelei.
Slow it down.
Call him Mataya.
Mataya.
Posh Lupoy.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah, dude.
We'll get to that today.
Amika Big Boo Boo.
Well, it's not quite Gronk, but it's not
quite
very
that
far
level,
off.
But it's not good.
So we'll get to that audio as Oregon is playing Indiana. We got a top 10 tilt knots, and they say it never rains in Ott Stadium.
What?
Where the forecast says it's going to rain.
It's not going to rain, dude. It don't rain out down there.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
I know Indiana, I've kind of been defending Indiana's fun Cignetti start for, I feel like, over a calendar year because...
Google me, bitch.
I kind of think it's dumb how we crap on their schedule as if other teams aren't... Like, who has Penn State played outside of Oregon?
They have not beaten a Power 4 team.
Okay, but they just... Okay, they've been around for 40 years, so we're okay with it. Indiana is establishing themselves. I don't care if they beat Patsies.
Yeah.
Didn't they also beat Michigan last year?
They did beat Michigan last year.
Who couldn't beat Michigan last year?
Ohio State.
Who won the national championship?
Ohio State.
So, like, you're never going to be perfect, but if you can beat a program of note, even if they're a quote-unquote down, give me a little bit of respect here. I'm looking forward to this because I'm wondering if this is going to get weird, if the rain is going to make this weird, if random luck is going to make it weird, if Cocky Duck fan is going to make this a little weird, and it's like 7-0 Indiana. Like, oh, my God, that offense looked amazing on that drive. I'm really looking forward to it because if Oregon does handle the business and your guy Dante, he has another good game, I venture to say come Monday, you rip that post-it note right off, and I admit I'm wrong. It's done. He's going to be in New York if he has another stellar game because go look at the schedule. He can have a dud in a season and still get to New York. He beats Indiana, and he looks good. I think Dante's going to New York.
Well, then on top of that, too, there's not one guy that is seemingly running away with it from a number standpoint. There's not like a Jaden Daniels from 2 years ago or an Ashton Jeanty running back or a Travis Hunter doing something we've never really seen before.
Bane in Miami might be almost a lock to
and
get
that
to
would
New
be
York.
Such an outlier to see a defensive guy get that. Like, that is so rare to see a only defensive player make it. We haven't had that since Ndamukong Suh many moons ago, and he should have won the award that year, but... that's neither here nor there. So I do tend to agree with you there. I think it also takes you to looking at the rest of their schedule, and not that everything's a cakewalk. Oregon almost lost to Wisconsin last year. But as of now, this is the last time on your schedule currently you are playing a ranked team. There's not a lot of ranked team. Now, maybe USC gets there. Maybe Washington is there at the end of the year. Maybe somebody else does. But as of right now, there are no more ranked opponents on your schedule. So if you get through it, I think you feel really good. The weather impact, I think, is a valid concern. It's one that's in my mind right now. of just when you get games where it rains and it's wonky, and could there be a drop punt? Could there be a ball that goes through somebody's hands? Could there be a fumbled snap? Could you just, you never know when you get weather that plays into a game like this. And so who knows how bad it ends up being. It seems like there will be showers right around the start of game time. I've been trying to track it all week and see if the weather forecast is going to change. It will rain during the game. I think the question just is simply, how hard will it rain for how long will it rain? Because if it rains for an extended period of time, that definitely comes into play of just something that you can't really count on and something that you can't control as a football team.
Well, I want to hear from Duck fans on this one, because I don't think universally Duck fans are like, well, we're going to roll them and it's not going to be close. Like, I know there is that opinion out there, because Oregon's talent profile versus Indiana's talent profile would suggest that it's possible Oregon ends up rolling. They're more than a touchdown favorite in it. I'm more curious from people, and you can chime in at the fan text line, 503-864-6326, in the YouTube chat or Twitter or wherever you want to go. What is the area that in this specific matchup against this team, from what you've seen of Indiana, what is the area that you're like, are they going to be able to, expose isn't the right word, but Cignetti's used the term find the edge. What's the area that it's like, if they're going to do it, it's this specific area?
The two things that come to my mind when you ask that question are, one, I think Oregon has really good players in the back end and in their secondary, and when you look at their past defense numbers, they are outstanding on the year. But very similarly to what we talk about with Indiana of, are these numbers real? Oregon has not faced a passing attack this country that ranks in the top 80. What's the best passing offense that they played? It probably Penn State, but that ain't saying a lot right now. So when you ask me, the first concern is that I trust your secondary, but those guys are young, and they have not faced a quarterback and a wide receiver duo that can truly challenge them.
Yeah, schematically, they haven't had a passing attack. Like, what's the Penn State guys? Is it the OC?
Oh, Kotelnicki?
Kotelnicki.
Andy Kotelnicki. Like,
doesn't seem like a very tough passing attack.
Well, they're limited. And Drew Aller's a limited thrower, right? You're talking about a guy who might be the number one overall pick in the draft coming to town this weekend.
This dude, this offense, like, I think it's Mike Shanahan is the OC. Mm-hmm. No relation to Mike Shanahan of the Broncos.
What are the chances of that? Just the same name, same, you know, profession, but
it's like being a white Michael Jordan. It's just, like, unfortunate for you.
Oh, you're MJ, huh?
But Cignetti, like, I just think their offensive brains, if there's anybody built on the schedule to maybe scheme up things to confuse young DBs,
for sure,
it's going to be them.
Without a doubt. So that's concern number one of just how do they hold up? And it might be fine. It might not be an issue. Maybe the rain plays into that. Maybe Indiana has a hard time throwing the ball because it's pouring down rain, and that ends up being an advantage for Oregon. But that's question number one. The other thing that I would pinpoint, and I'll give you a number on Mendoza in a second, but if you watch Indiana's offense, there's not a lot of, what's the word? There's not a lot of complexity to it. It's a very simple offense. It's a lot of inside zone. It's a lot of quick release throws, and then they build RPOs off of that. So when they can run the football, that's when Mendoza gets into that groove of ride it, pull it, slant, ride it, pull it out, or take your shots. Like, that's how their offense largely functions.
And does he keep it once in a blue moon?
Does he run it
8 yards?
Without a doubt. I think if you're looking for a weakness on Oregon's defense that I've identified through the first however, 5 weeks of the season, I don't know how to feel about their linebacker play. I don't think their linebacker play has been elite week in and week out. Jerry Mixon's had a couple of really good highlights. Bryce Betcher is an awesome story. But
you don't think Betcher's been good?
I'm not saying he's been bad, but I don't view him as a dominant force that's taking over games, if that makes sense. And I think if you go back and watch some of the Penn State stuff,
he had some plays that, like,
there were some run fits where he's picking the wrong hold or he's a little late to the read, and he had got trucked on 1/4 down. Like, I love Bryce Betcher, dude. I'm rooting like hell for him. He's an incredible story. But if I'm looking for a weakness defensively for them, it is that. And so if Indiana can get into their RPO game, can Oregon's linebackers handle that with the slants and the pull and the throw and all that kind of stuff? The number on Mendoza that I find fascinating this year, from catching the snap to releasing the football, do you know how quickly he gets rid of it? This is his average time on the season.
I think I saw this stat. Is it 2.4?
It's like 2.5 seconds, which is the fastest in the Big Ten. So from catching of the snap, 2.5 seconds, ball is out. That is their offense.
That's the new way to get quarterbacks to change their entire reputation, is quick reads, quick outs. Don't hold on to it because bad stuff happens.
When I heard Harris talk about this yesterday,
2.5 seconds is a long time.
2.5 seconds is a very long time. You should be pretty proud of that number. Right? That's an eternity to some people. But I heard Harris talking about this yesterday, and I agree with him completely, of like, Oregon's ability to slow down the run is the difference in this game, and that's how I feel. Because Indiana gets rid of the ball so quickly because of the way that they can function in the RPO game and their quick out game. Mm-hmm. But largely that relies upon their ability to run the football to set all of that up. And I think you saw this against Penn State when Oregon's defense was able to win on first and second down and not let them run the ball, and you put Drew Aller into the pocket on third and nine in an obvious passing situation, their defensive line was all over him, and they pressured him the entire night. And I think Penn State has a better offensive line than Indiana does. So I go back to just the simple fact of if you could slow down the run on first and second down, not let them stay ahead of the chains and get into their RPO game, that's where I see the game getting lopsided. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But if you're looking for a blueprint of how Oregon separates here, that is it. You don't let them run the football on you. You make Mendoza stand in the pocket on third and nine, and then you got two dominant edge rushers going against tackles who are there. They're both better than.
Yeah, when it comes to the red zone, we know Oregon is highly efficient, right? They've scored 19 touchdowns in 23 trips to the red zone. They largely execute touchdowns instead of settling for field goals. I think the one thing I think about in this one is kind of, I almost flipped this in my mind because, yeah, Indiana's offense is probably going to have to put up some points here and really be able to show they can move the ball, maybe take that defensive pressure on the D-line away a little bit. Like, if you can mitigate Mateo and Tuioti and Amari and all them, like, yeah, you're going to probably be in a decent position. I kind of flip it, though, and I go, Indiana's defense not so much given, I think, as much like, hey, maybe there's a chance that they show up and play a great game because we know the Oregon offensive line is bigger than them.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen that Oregon offensive line look every bit the part so far in their season. But as successful as they are in the red zone, think about the first half of the Penn State game. Because
mm-hmm.
my takeaway was, holy crap, they're beating the living hell out of this team. They don't have points.
It's 3-3. They've moved the ball on every drive, but it's only 3-3. It doesn't matter. Yards don't
yes,
beat you.
Yes, that was do. Not a score that indicated what my eyeballs saw. So, to like, is Indiana's defense going to benefit in some ways of Oregon goes for 40 yards and then they get bogged down on 3rd and 7? They just can't pick it up. I think that's the side of the ball I'm maybe more interested in because I know Oregon's defense can be elite. I know Indiana's offense can be elite. So either scenario, I don't really know how tested Indiana's defense has been because I don't know how to feel about Illinois, and I certainly know how I feel about Iowa.
Yeah.
This Oregon offense, really good when they get to that red area, but they also have some, they have possessions. Think of the Oregon State game, and it was only like two. But
no, you're not wrong. Yeah.
You just think of these little moments through games where it looks good, but then it gets kind of clunky-ish, and so does Indiana's defense is more what I think about going to be able to give their offense more chances instead of having these long drives or quick scores. Like I want to see what that matchup's going to look like because I've seen Oregon's offense be good and then also not finish strong.
I think this Indiana front seven is criminally underrated. I think they're very talented. And I, you know, look, I liked the under of the game last night. So, you know, don't listen to what I'm about to say because I can be an idiot. I think this game's more low scoring than people are giving it credit
for. I don't know what that number, what is the number of this over-under for this one?
55?
It's in the 50s?
It's mid-50s, if I remember.
I was seeing like 57 and
57,
a half.
Okay. So we're in the 30s area kind of thing for both
Again,
teams.
Again, I like the under in the game last night. The Giants nearly hit the over on their own. So I'm an idiot. But I like the under on Saturday. I just, like, I think so much attention has gone to the quarterbacks who might be the two first guys on the board, and that's kind of where our eyes immediately go. I think the defenses are going to tell the story here, and then you add in the impact of the weather and the rain, and does it kind of bog things down a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Could totally see that happening. I think Indiana's front seven is fantastic, the way that they slant and stunt. The only concern that I would have if I'm an Indiana fan there is what I highlighted yesterday, the weight difference of the offensive line of Oregon to the defensive line in Indiana. It's about an average of 46 pounds heavier on Oregon's offensive line. Does that wear you down as the game goes on?
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part of it is, can Will Stein scheme up things against that defensive line and the way that they like to get pressure? They're going to get you in some TFLs. Like, they're going to tackle you behind the line of scrimmage because the guy is slanting and a guard can't get over there and here's a 3-yard loss. All right, now we got a punt. That's going to happen from time to time. But when you run that line, what that style of defense up front, it leaves yourself vulnerable for cutbacks and guys getting washed out and big runs going the other way. And so can you scheme up some counters? Can you scheme up some runs that go against where they're slanting that catches them in a vulnerable spot? And there goes De'Aaron Hill for a 40-yard game. But I'm with you completely. I think Indiana's defense is going to keep them in this game because I think they're front seven. And then they got Pons back in the secondary, who is probably a top three draft pick in April. Their defense is really good, and they're going to give Oregon some problems.
Some kind of nerdy addition of the game, okay? There you go. Now?
Yeah, Will Stein will help you shine.
It's time to get to the fun part. And we'll get to this other preview in a different way next. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly but you know what why it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Every once in a while, you stumble across stuff for somebody in your life that you're like, oh, they would like this. I've been trying to do that more in my life with people. Like, just randomly, like, oh, I know somebody this is awesome for. I'm going to get this for them.
Mm.
And then you just hand it to them, and like, what is this for? And you're like, I don't know. Thought of you.
That made me feel good.
And yesterday, this happened for me. I was not even aware. I don't consume a lot of the content, per se, but I wasn't even aware. John Gruden is doing college football preview breakdowns.
I got to be honest with you. I saw this on my YouTube algorithm yesterday.
Noted college football analyst John Gruden.
Soon to be college football coach.
Yeah, he's getting a job somewhere. Hello, Arkansas, come on down.
I watched
about 5 minutes of this and had to turn it off. So I miss a lot of the gold, probably. He was with, who was that dude he was with?
I don't know who he was with, dude. That guy was.
And they were doing like a back and forth, and I'm like.
Well, it wasn't really a back and forth. He'd be like, you know what I mean, man? And he'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, Austin's loud. All right, let's talk about the defense. And I was like, I can't. So I'm sure there's some audio gold here that I just couldn't quite make it all the way through.
Well, you know what song John Gruden loves?
Shout! Offense, hey.
Shout!
His favorite D coordinator?
Ash Lupoy.
What about his favorite defensive lineman?
Mataya Uiagalelei.
You know who his big grinder of this game is going to be.
But my favorite Oregon Duck. No disrespect to all the other Ducks. Is Bryce Betcher. He's a guy, man. He's kind of like me. He's a walk-on. He's a Gruden grinder.
Let me tell you about this guy, man. He's going to grind you down on the football field.
Also wanted to talk about the Oregon running backs.
So they talk about Hughes. They start the season with Whittington, and all of a sudden, these two true freshmen got a case of whoop-ass.
Yep. Is he leaning into it so hard that he already is sounding like Joey Molinaro's impression
like
of John Gruden?
Doing John Gruden of himself?
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
It'd be like GW doing Will Ferrell's impression of GW.
Did GW ever go on SNL with Will Ferrell being GW? Because
I think so.
He strikes me as somebody that would have done that.
I think he did.
I saw a bit of an interview of Frank Caliendo the other day, who also does a very notable John Gruden impersonation. And I'm sorry,
that's what I thought it was. Yeah, Caliendo, yeah. But Caliendo Molinaro does it too.
He does a good one as well. But he told a story about how Gruden, he was in Tampa doing a comedy show, and Gruden was like, can I come up on stage with you? And he was like, yeah, dude, the audience would eat it up. Let's go. And then he got up there and he was like very vulnerable and honest. He was like, man, I'm really nervous right now in front of the entire crowd. And they did a bit back and forth of Caliendo being Gruden doing play-by-play and John Gruden doing color as a double John Gruden, you know, broadcast team.
You can't help but wonder, though, Russ, to a fair point by you, like when you become so popular for the way that you talk, there has to be an element of,
yes,
you're not trying to... You're in a way like you're redoing a role in a movie, and you're like, can you nail it the second time the way you did the first? It has to get in your head a little bit.
You almost become Fonzie on the skis and become like a caricature
of yourself. Right.
Yeah.
You know, because Dante Moore's having a good season. You know why?
Yeah, Will Stein will help you shine.
So good.
He had a million of these.
It's so good.
It's just unbelievable. Here's his X Factor, by the way.
I need the X Factor.
I think you're going to know who the X Factor is.
But here's my X Factor, man. You know how much I love tight ends.
Yeah, I do.
Kenyon Sadiq.
Listen to the beginning of this.
But here's my X Factor, man.
You know how much sounds I like love a guy.
Yeah, I do.
Kenyon Sadiq.
In like Mad Max, here's my X Factor,
I got my X Factor, man.
You just gotta keep living, man.
This Dan Lanning, man. Let me tell you about this guy. Does he know how to win?
Oh, it was great. I didn't watch like every second. He had one on like offensive line stuff.
Sure.
They kind of fast forward through that. Yeah, but
double click.
It's a 23-minute preview. He doesn't do college. Well, reportedly to the comment section, because I was curious. I'm like, oh, you didn't know he did college. The comment section was like, look at you doing a college preview.
Hey, Gruden Grinder. I didn't know. I guess his dad or his grand. Somebody in his family coached
his
at
dad
Indiana.
His dad coached at I think he said his dad coached at Notre Dame and left for Indiana. He goes, who does that, man?
Why would you leave Notre Dame for Indiana, man?
Here we was on Taj Lepoy on the defense.
Taj Lepoy. I love that guy's name, Lepoy. Oregon, I think they're famous for offense. Oh, let's get to Oregon. Shout! Offense, offense. Hey, this Lepoy guy's done a hell of a job with their defense.
You know that, man?
Oregon!
That's why I couldn't watch too long of it, because it just ended up being like...
You think he was a character of himself.
It was that, and then just the most generic statements
I know
that you could possibly hear.
Oregon let me tell goes you, man, out and plays football.
Let me tell you, man, this defense, pretty good, man. Pretty good. This defense, pretty. Have you seen these numbers these offenses are putting up? Pretty good, man.
Exactly. Dynamite drop like, in, Monty.
Yeah, they score a lot of points, and their defenses are very good. Thank you, John. I didn't know that.
It popped up in your algorithm.
It did,
I saw it a different way, so I guess I'll ask you. When he does NFL stuff, is he actually doing X's and O's?
I don't want to.
Or is he also going,
I don't want
the Commanders, man. Man. You got these big uglies up front. They block, man. I'll tell you that much.
The only Gruden content that I consume is when he does his, like, usually it's running back related. He does, like, this. There's like a current rap song that he plays, and it's about him feeling nicey watching these guys. Have you seen any of those edits? That's the only one that I watch, where he'll go through like a running back blowing up a linebacker and running him over, and there's some like, whoa, and he's like, that makes me feel nicey, and then he goes to the next guy. That's the only one I watch.
So did Barstool make him do this?
I don't know. I think he's just kind of
doing the film breakdown stuff with prospects in the draft. I remember that.
I think he's just doing whatever the hell he wants. I think he's John Gruden, and he has basically carte blanche to like, hey, what content do you want to put out there,
okay,
and then teams will send you a bunch of gear. The guy's living on cloud nine right now. He's making a ton of money. Teams are sending him stuff. He doesn't have pressure of coaching. He's living the dream.
He had, because I was waiting for actual film,
like showcase,
play,
yes,
and like to kind of educate me, because I'm interested in that stuff. And
it's exactly what I was waiting for too.
As I'm watching, I'm just seeing a still image of Taj Lepoy screaming, and he's like, "I love me some Taj Lepoy."
Lepoy.
Like, and then he just says the generic thing. He did this with Indiana. He's like, Surratt, there's a wide receiver named Surratt. You see his touchdown against Iowa, man?
I was like, that's it?
Are we not going to
showcase on the play how we did it and maybe do a little diagram? Can I get some drawings while you're doing the all 22 footage of watch this route and watch the protection and here's how Indiana schemed this open? That's all I was waiting for, and there was none of that in there.
Nobody wants that. That's what you have John Gruden for.
So that's the only thing I want out of John Gruden.
Although I will say he did give a prediction. He teed up the other. So there's another guy. This kid looks like he's 20 or 30. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's Nepo, because I don't know everybody at Barstool, but it kind of reeked of somebody who's like,
what are you doing here?
Wearing Justin Herbert duck shirt.
What are you adding to the show right now?
And by the way, if you think he said this name wrong on his own,
Mataya Uiagalelei.
The guy next to him, who's supposedly a duck fan, also called him Mataya.
Mataya Uiagalelei.
Well, we get Gary Danielson again this weekend. Has he learned Oregon names by now?
I don't think so.
We'll find out.
Well, here is the John Gruden Grinders. Here's John Gruden and the other guy with him. Here is the prediction for the game.
Well, we got to make our picks. You know, I love Indiana. Cannot wait for this game. The biggest game in Indiana football history. Who you taking?
Can't bet against my guy Dan Lanning. In Autzen Stadium, prime time. Oregon 34, Indiana 27.
You just love this, don't you? You just love
this. I do love this.
You just love this.
I do.
As much as I love Indiana.
You know you make me want to kick my heels up.
Shout!
Shout!
Hell with it. I'm taking Indiana. Freaking upset. 2,000 miles from home. Indiana 31, Oregon 30. Go Hoosiers.
There's your John Gruden preview.
Nobody's giving us a chance, man. It ended in a perfect way. Everybody's counting us out this weekend. Even John Gruden doesn't think we're going to win the game.
He did the Lee Corso mascot head toss it. Oh, not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, my friend.
That literally was the preview. I mean, I pulled almost every notable cut from that preview.
I will say, if there's one person that I could have sit down and talk, Jim Harbaugh might still take the cake. Like, Jim Harbaugh for an hour in studio would be my dream, but a close...
I'd be too nervous to talk to Harbaugh.
Would you?
Yeah, he's too... He's too football.
Can we get the hair down in the offseason? Like, is there a setting
football
when we get him in, like, June?
Can we like football?
Can we get some, like...
Back?
milk conversations or nervous bird energy.
I feel like he's willing to go into the weeds in the offseason.
I need some stories. You know what I mean? I need some John Harbaugh stories.
I'd go
Jim
Harbaugh.
Yeah. Afraid of 7. It's 7, 8, 9.
You're not wrong, Jim. This is why. Give me an hour of that. Number two on my list would be John Gruden.
Moses, I'm going to die leaning on my staff.
We're going to move on from John Gruden in Oregon and Indiana. We'll get to Mariners, Huskies, big night up in Seattle Friday. We'll get some NFL. We'll Sprague the line as well. Get the Sprague the line sponsors in. 503-864-6326. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. But first, Rusty with a sports update.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, we'll Sprague the line coming up at 9:30 today. We interviewed Don Fisher at 6:15 in the morning for you non-early birds.
For the early sickos out there, you got that one live.
God, we love our 6 a.m. sickos. I'm not kidding. I drive in some days and I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
This sucks.
And then I get in and I wake up and I get going and then I see people on at 6 and I'm just like, God bless every one of you out there. You're truly special to me.
I was amazed at the amount of people on the road on Highway 26 this morning at like 4:45.
People are out there, dude. Well, they need to listen to Dirt and Sprague.
That's what they do.
Get out there early. Hey, you can always count on Sundays, the NFL on CBS, Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at $30 for your first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. I will get to Michael Irvin audio. Michael Irvin heard something on a podcast and I'll just say did not like it.
Lost his mind, if you will.
You know him on the sideline of a Miami game?
Yeah, barking like a dog on all fours.
Like, I know Miami's mascot is a bird now, or it's always been a bird of some sort. I think the mascot to me is more Michael Irvin.
Yes.
So that Michael Irvin showed up on a podcast and I want to get to that audio.
You having some of that on the sideline?
It's getting my haircut visiting family, and my niece is turning 18 here in a couple weeks, and she's getting ready to graduate high school.
That's a big deal.
Massive deal. It's always like, hey, what college is she going to apply to?
Yeah, where are you going? What are you doing next year? What's your plan?
Unfortunately for her, Hawaii has been scratched off the list.
Didn't get in or can't go or what?
Doesn't really think she wants to go. It's not cheap to go to Hawaii as an out-of-state kid.
No, it is not.
Well, also not cheap to live there.
Well, just when you're a college student, you
could be in a dorm. Yeah, you could be in a dorm.
You get a meal plan. And, you know.
But going to Hawaii would be awesome.
That's why she wanted to go.
Yeah. Go live in Hawaii for 4 years? Sign me up.
I haven't said this to her, and she doesn't listen to the show ever. I wanted to say something because it was Hawaii. It was Santa Cruz. It was San Diego State. And
somebody
like,
wants some warm weather in their life.
You're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And then the other day, she's like, I think I'm just going to go to Portland State.
No.
And I'm like,
go to warm weather. Get out of here.
But, you know, I'll support her whenever she does.
Yes.
Anyways, she's getting ready to graduate this year, which I know it's October, but, like, that flies right by if we all remember our senior year. She's looking at a brochure, and it catches my eye, and I go, is that a graduation thing? And she goes, yeah, we were given a packet. And I go, what's the packet about? Cap and gown information. And I go, the cap and gown. The thing that people think they're going to hold on forever that I don't know where my gown went, and I threw my hat
on. No idea.
You had a class ring in there, too. You got to buy a class ring. Come on now. You get a Letterman's jacket, too. What are we doing here?
I had a class ring. I have no idea where it is.
Well, some of us couldn't afford class rings and Letterman jackets and senior photos.
Well, I didn't have a Letterman jacket because I was a drama kid, so...
Yeah, drama queen.
You're not sporting that jacket with a drama letter.
Anyways, she's looking at cap and gown stuff, Dirt. And she drops the line. Yeah, they gave us the cap and gown information to order it now because it takes a while. It's $300.
What? For a cap and gown?
Did you spend $300 or did you spend any money for your cap and gown?
That was a long time ago. I don't remember it being $300.
No.
$300. And I said, does it come with a gold tassel?
I feel like it should be like a $49.99 thing, like at Spirit Halloween.
I feel like the school should just have them in a box and let you use it for a night and then you return it.
Or like that. Costumes at a drama
yes.
department.
Why yes. are we buying a cap and gown? The only thing that you hold on to if you want to is like you get the little tassel that usually has your year on it. Like I think that's probably in a box somewhere laying around. There's like an 07 thing that would dangle off the side of the hat, but like nobody keeps the hat. Nobody keeps the gown.
I don't even know where my diploma is from Portland State. Once I finally graduated college or Beaverton High School. I
told
no
her,
idea.
You get a diploma for graduating high school?
Yeah, you get a degree from college and a diploma from high school.
I don't know where my high school diploma is.
It's usually
is.
Like a little laminated cat, you know, open, close one.
I definitely don't have that anymore. I have my college diploma, but I don't have my high school.
My degree is in one of these foldable Oregon State things. I haven't framed it, and it's sitting just in a random box that I saw there. And I go, oh, that's my degree.
Yeah. Put that thing up in Arnie's,
Portland
dude.
My Portland State thing is in the garage somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
don't
insanely expensive.
$300?
What's the argument if you can't afford it or if you don't want to buy it? Can you go to graduation without a cap and gown? So, can I just walk out with like a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt and you hand me my diploma and I'm gone?
She said that there is wiggle room on this, but like the school district we live in that she goes to is a weird combination of 80% super wealthy people.
Sure.
With 20% people not in that category.
Opposite end.
It's a little like Park Rose had a little bit of this. There was a lot of us like lower middle and like outright poor people. And then you sprinkle in occasionally kids who live over by Shaver had some money, some old money. But like it was a lot of that. She said her and her friends might be wearing capes as a joke.
That'd be pretty cool.
And I said, capes are always cool.
I mean, it's graduation. They can't do anything to you at that point. You're on the way out. It's over.
Batman wears capes. Like, capes cool. But I was like, why don't you just ask somebody who had one from last year? And she goes, Oh, yeah. So, like, I don't understand how we got to the point where the cap... Like, I know tariffs are hitting... Do we get those from China? Is that part of the tariff problem? Or
100% price increase here in the last...
$300? Like, who spends
insanity.
That?
It's absolute insanity. I don't remember how much it cost when I was in school. That's also something that probably my parents would have bought that I wouldn't have bought, but I guarantee you it wasn't $300.
Well, I think you and I both had green colors in our schools. Did you have a green cap and gown? Because we had green.
Yeah, it was green cap and gown.
And that's not a common thing you find at a Goodwill, because hers is black. I'm like, just go to a...
Dude, you could get one on Amazon for probably $20.
That's what we were at Beaverton. We were Beaverton Beavers, so orange and black.
Oregon State. I mean, we just wore black and we had the orange tassel. Yeah.
This is just a good lesson for her in life going forward of the different ways that people are going to try and siphon money away from you.
Oh, yeah. Like, and she's just not falling for the bit.
No, it's just beginning now. Yeah. And next thing you know, you got to redo your registration every 16 months and it's going to cost you $742. Like, wait a minute. Didn't I just do this?
Oh, you know.
Wait, I got to go back to DEQ? What are we talking about here?
I understand nobody wants to lose money, but I live in an area where a lot of people, big gripe for them, taxes.
Yeah.
Don't want to pay taxes. I'm tired of paying my taxes. And I'm like, you know they tax you without calling it taxes, right? What do you mean? Every year you hit everybody up for your kid's baseball team. That's called a tax, bud.
That's a friend tax, and I now have to pay because you got a kid that's in travel baseball.
We didn't have Little League, and they were like, hey, candy bar fundraisers that nobody cared about, and that money didn't really do anything.
There was no GoFundMes when we were in high school. We used to have to walk around high school. I will never forget, and I hated doing it. It was the first reminder of, like, I couldn't do sales, and I would never want to do this. We used to sell those stupid boxes of candy.
The worst candy bars,
the
too.
The worst candy bars of all time.
Chocolate bars.
Have to walk around neighborhoods to knock on people's doors and try and sell them. And you'd sell like one every hour. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
I didn't even try after the first year. I was like, I'm done.
I'm going to go sit in a corner and be like, nah, sorry, I couldn't sell any today, guys. Guess we're not going on the trip.
And I would say, I'm telling you 100% confidently, I did not spend $300 for high school cap and gown. That's a tax.
Yeah. If it's black, just go on. Let me check Amazon right now. I guarantee you I can find a black cap and gown on Amazon for... less than $50.
Well, I think she found a friend who graduated last year that also had a black cap and gown. And I'm like, just hit that person up.
Yes.
Because here's the other thing. I told her, and she doesn't believe me now.
$21.84, $18.98.
Dude.
It'll arrive on Sunday.
There you go.
$21, $23. I got all sorts of
options.
It's
amazing.
$18, $21. Say, here's one for $17.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It even comes with a tassel that says 2026.
I don't need it to have my school logo on it for me to care about it. I'm getting out of this building.
That is one of those things that you will never look back on. No. You will never touch. There's some things that you want to hold on to for nostalgia purposes. A cap and gown from high school is not one of them.
I don't have very much stuff from high school. My diploma is somewhere in a box. My degree's in a box. That
some of us still, you know, put our stuff up, you know, our trophies up.
Your PIL Player of the Year trophy.
Some of us still have stuff up on the walls.
Yeah. Well, you rocked in high school.
Some of us were pretty big deals in high school. What do you want from me?
My last day at Park
Definitely
Rose.
Definitely not living in the past.
I cut the net off the basketball.
Did you?
I still have the net up. It's in Arnie's.
See, there you go. That's a cool thing to hold on to.
I care about that more than I care about anything else.
I stole 2 of my high school football jerseys.
You should.
And my helmet.
I would argue you should.
Yeah, you know, hey, look, last PIL title you had. Haven't sniffed one since. That's the tax for you, for me leading you to a city championship.
I was a big deal in high school drama. I had to learn how to waltz and polka and tap dance.
Did you steal your tap dance
shoes? Can you still
shoes?
Tap dance?
Jeff Russ tap dancing would be a hell of a thing.
You strike me as the kid from Chuck and Larry, the son who's tap dancing.
I was okay at the tap. I'll tell you one thing though: when I had to learn how to waltz and polka, I was the one dude that all the girls wanted to practice the dances with. Everybody wanted to come practice.
I'm sure that's who was asking.
Everybody
you
wanted
drama
to come
class.
Practice the waltz with Rust.
The guy sleeping on his stomach, asking his wife to open pickle jars, was tap dancing in high school.
She doesn't open pickle jars. She is the bug killer.
Sure.
Yeah,
my wife's the bug killer too in our household.
Yeah. You guys don't kill the bug?
Nah, dude, I'm not touching bugs.
I handle the dead things outside. She handles the bugs.
That seems pretty fair. Somebody said my buddy owns a cap and gown business. He is making a killing.
I'm telling you,
outrageous.
These people are making a racket.
Is this a business that I didn't know I needed to start? How are these things 300? How do you get away with this? How are there that many stupid people that will buy that and then not just go look on Amazon for one that's, I don't know, 4% of the price?
Again, where I live is Happy Valley, dude.
Why not?
Kids
here's
have like Range Rovers as dude. Their cars.
And absolute insanity, man.
That's nuts.
Absolute
it's just ridiculous. All right, let's get to Michael Irvin. We'll dive into the football dealings, college football, NFL. We'll get to the Mariner Husky night, big one in Seattle. We'll Sprague the line as well. Back with Michael Irvin Audio next on The Fan. Get those Sprague line sponsors in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that coming up at 9:30.
Your stupid ass.
What's that from, Sprague? Well, I'll tell you, there was a podcast called Facts Over Feelings. I think they stole our bit.
Dude, they stole our segment? That's our segment.
Yeah, we didn't continue that segment.
No, we did not.
Anyways, they debated about Deion Sanders and if he'd still be good in this era of football because nobody, to them was good in football when Deion played, and they used images of Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice.
What?
Yeah, it was a thing.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Is this like a well-known podcast? Is this an out-of-the-nowhere podcast? Like, have we ever heard of it before?
I hadn't heard of it, but I'm not going to say it's not well-known or not heard of.
What's it called? Facts Over Feelings?
Facts Over Feelings. And Michael Irvin woke up and checked the internet, and he saw that his image was used for this conversation. Michael Irvin did not appreciate that, so Michael Irvin said, I'm going to record a response to this. I don't do this very often. You know, Michael Irvin is kind of crazy, but say what you want. He's not somebody that attacks the modern era very much. And this pissed him off. And I, you know what?
Rightfully so.
Yeah, rightfully so. Here's Michael Irvin's first response.
We are the two most accomplished receivers in the history of this game. When you're talking about the most important things, championships, and your stupid ass talking about running fast, like people weren't running fast back then. Are you shitting me? Why do you talk on a microphone? Why do you have a microphone? What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know your name. And I certainly don't know your game. Because you don't. I don't see you every year with a gold jacket in that Hall of Fame room.
He then responded it some more.
I will dominate this era of football. Dominate. Football's not about running fast. It's not about speed. It's about getting the job done. It's about getting the job done. And you won't tell me you know somebody that got the job done better than me, better than Jerry Rice, that you're going to use our picture and trying to make your point. Are you stupid or are you stupid? That's why I hate it. Everybody got a podcast. Everybody got a voice. And everybody don't know what the hell they're talking about. There was separation from the football. And it was allowed. It was encouraged. It was actually praised when you knocked somebody out. If anybody hit your asses, they'll suspend them for 3 weeks. You couldn't even play when I played the game. And some of these you're talking about, they couldn't even play when we played the game. So I'm sitting here saying, what the hell is he talking about? I don't mind you being stupid. I don't mind you being dumb. I don't mind you not knowing what the f*** you're talking about. But keep my name out your mouth when you don't know what you're talking about. Keep my name and my image. Don't try to shit on my work when I won championships on every level. On every level. When they can knock out. I go past it in the midst of pain. Y'all don't do that. Y'all ain't never had to do that. So shut the hell up. Y'all don't do that.
But y'all don't say that.
Just getting angrier and angrier and angrier as the time goes on.
14-minute response.
I will say thank you for putting in all those beefs, because I didn't listen to those before I dumped them in.
Bombs in there. Bombs in there.
The are you stupid or are you stupid definitely needs to be addressed.
I'm pretty sure I sent that to him.
Okay,
I think I emailed that to you.
Are you stupid or are you stupid? That is just, I mean, amen to Michael Irvin. I will dump all over guys like Babe Ruth, who played when there was four baseball teams and only white people were allowed, and the fastest they could throw was 73 miles an hour.
We'll joke about Bob Cousy against Tyler Hero.
Because he's 6'1", 150 pounds, and the game is total. If you don't think Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice could play in this day and age in the NFL, you are the epitome of stupid. If Deion Sanders 100%. Couldn't cover people this day and age in the NFL, you are the epitome of stupid. The game has totally evolved. You could be far more physical. I hesitated as long as I could because I didn't want to give him what he wanted, but I couldn't hold out forever.
You ended up watching the Netflix?
I ended up watching the Cowboy documentary. I'm not all the way through it. I've just been kind of, you know, random nights here or there. I think I'm through three or four. They just won their first Super Bowl, you know.
Yeah.
But remembering those eras and the physicality of the game and the hits that these guys used to take and how good some of those teams were and how good some of those players were, man. The idea that they couldn't hang in this era is so stupid.
It's ridiculous. It's the one thing that I don't crap on the old era, but I do hate the whole modern basketball players couldn't play in the old era thing.
It's the reverse of it. It's stupid.
It is. It's really stupid. And it's like the same thing of like, Hakeem Olajuwon would be maybe a better Jokic if he got to play in this era of basketball. The idea that elite guys couldn't play in this era and vice versa, to me, is dumb. Now, if you want to go guys who played in the 50s and say like...
Well, the size and strength was so different that, they couldn't do it.
That's the gap for me that I'll be like, yeah, I kind of agree. This is utter nonsense. I never rooted for Michael Irvin and the Cowboys.
No.
But I remember passionately debating between Rice and Irvin with Cowboy friends. And I always think Jerry's the GOAT, but like, yeah, Michael Irvin was amazing.
Yeah, he was one of the best wide receivers we've ever seen. And the hits and the way he held onto the ball over the middle in ways that you can't get hit anymore, he's 100% spot on that. Like, quarterbacks and wide receivers have it so much easier than guys did back when Michael Irvin was playing.
Y'all ain't never had to do that.
No, they don't.
The hits he had to take.
You hit a guy over the middle now, he's not wrong. It's a suspension, it's a fine, it's a 15-yard penalty. Guys, like, it's just, the game has totally changed. And some would argue that's for the better, and that's fine. But to pretend as if they could go through all of that and take those hits and hold on to the football and not succeed in the modern NFL.
Ridiculous.
You're an idiot.
So to the Facts Over Feelings podcast, I don't know much about you, but
you're stupid ass.
You're never going to get me as a listener.
No, that'll
do. I got crap on my GOAT and Michael Irvin, and I'm going to be okay with that.
They got exactly what they wanted out of it, and now their one moment of fame is done. They did this to get the reaction from somebody.
Well, there's always going to be a contingent that's like, actually, Irvin's wrong. And I'm like, oh my.
Jerry Rice couldn't run away from DBs nowadays, man.
Jerry Rice is faster than Randy Moss.
Jerry Rice, he was football fast, damn it.
He was football fast,
though. He could not run Keely Ringo last night in Thursday Night Football. I don't know if he could have done that, man.
Could Irvin have broken away from Sauce Gardner?
I don't know.
I don't think he could have.
Loaded third hour of the program, Dirt and Sprague. Hour three with Sprague the Line. We'll talk some NFL. We'll get into college football as well. It's a loaded third hour of the program, Dirt and Sprague. Third hour, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Are you stupid or are you stupid?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.